small guy by any means.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
he puts up 200 yards any given Saturday. It seems like, and he's going to be a Sunday NFL player for sure. But
yeah,
it's just one of the things like Nebraska. Yes, they. What at what point in time do they? What I notice a lot of time on Saturday is that they're trying to strip the ball more so than actually try to bring them down. And I noticed that last couple games is that they seem like they try to piggyback ride and try to get that ball out versus just try to bring them down. Where's the coaching as far as do they teach them to tackle them or do they teach them to strip the ball? Where does one come before the other?
Yeah,
and
I got you.
That's my question, and I'll hang up and listen to you.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate you, bud. Yeah, the breakdown of that is it's hard to interpret secure. The first one is the first guy is there to secure the tackle. That's what you hear coaches say. Secure the tackle. But if you can't tell if the tackle's secure, then the next guy will come in and try to strip the ball. Might have to have a refresher on secure because sometimes that tackle wasn't very secure and we're all trying to strip at it and get it out of there. But that's just me being a smart aleck. But you got to make sure that you have everything under wraps. When that guy stood up, you're ready to go. And now once that momentum has stopped right before the ref wants to call it dead, you get that punch in there and start ripping at the ball, and hopefully you can get it out. So it's securing the tackle first is the easiest way to do it. They need to be better at it. They know that. It just has to be better. It just has to be better. You got to have a want and desire to go play defensive football. You have to go do your job. Your job is to prevent the other team from scoring by any means necessary. Within the rules of the game, you have to do that. Back to the hotline here, and we will talk to Joe. Joe, my man, what's up?
What is up, my man? How are you?
Just living the dream.
Living the dream. I don't know why this is one of my favorite bits, but longtime caller, first time listener. I love that line. Somebody called earlier, and they're like, these are the Husker fans that drive me bonkers. Why can't we just be like the 95 Huskers? That's once in a generation, once in a lifetime. This is one of the greatest teams in college football history. Yeah, wouldn't that be nice if we could just have that every year? Guess what? Nobody has that every year. Nebraska's never had that every year. It's a once in a maybe lifetime thing, you know?
Yeah.
Once in a generation thing. The other thing that I wanted to sort of talk about was I couldn't be happier that they signed an extension to Frost. I think they should give an extension to damn near every assistant they got, because if I look at the teams that I think are successful, you could go the Patriots, you could go Alabama. They have, from top to bottom, they have, this is how we're doing things. This is our guy. You're not going to come in and throw a little tantrum and disrupt things, and mm-hmm. there'll be a new coach in a couple years. No. Ferentz is the coach at Iowa, and a new kid that comes to Iowa knows that's going to be his coach.
Mm-hmm.
And some kids love that. I mean, that it's working for the Patriots. It's working for Clemson. And I think they should have done it when they announced the fact that they were going to build the new facilities. I think they should have gave it to him then, but I'm glad they did give it to him. The other point that I wanted to talk about a little bit is some Husker fans are in such disbelief that we have people that aren't pulling the rope the same direction.
Right.
And we got a senior that Ferguson, I'll throw his name out there, Ferguson. He's a couple weeks away from getting to play probably his last game of college football, last game of real athletics, last game ever on senior day, and he quits. He quits on his teammates. So we've got guys in the program that aren't all on board. And is it disgusting? It is. It's where we're at. Frost keeps saying it's where we're at. But I don't think he should have to defend these statements of not everybody's pulling in the same direction. Now, I don't blame some of these kids because we haven't had the stability at top. Some of these guys were recruited by stinking Bo Pelini and Papuchis and Mike Riley. And having that stability, that's where I want us to be. I want us to be top to bottom, one unit, blah, 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 all that, all that good jazz that seems to be working for the Patriots. But that's what I got, Verse. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Joe, appreciate the call, buddy. Good to talk to you. Yeah, there. I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot to digest there. But it makes it worse when you see someone doing what you want to do. And Dabo's doing it in Clemson. Saban has done it for a long time at Alabama. Everybody wants to be a winner. Everybody wants to be there. And when you aren't there, then everybody wants to talk about why you're not there. And you have all this, how it all lays out. You have people that are why. And that's the way it should be. You should want to be super successful. You should also be realistic in what you got. You know, we like to go to recruiting because we out-recruit Wisconsin, we out-recruit Iowa, and we out-recruit these teams. Okay, you can do that. But eventually the rubber is going to meet the road and you're going to have to play the game. What, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota? No, I retract Minnesota. Ohio State, what they do better. They get their guys in, they develop. Nebraska's got to get to the point where when they're leaving the school, they're better than when they started. It has been a hot minute since we can say that. Think of it. Who's the last player that's left Nebraska a better player than when they started? It's nothing against Scott Frost. Just the development right now isn't there. His foundation, his core, his roots, whatever you want to call them, they have to take hold. And these guys have to realize the expectation is to become better literally every day. I think a problem is too many of the cliches now up there are cliches. They're viewed as cliches. They're not taken seriously. They're just empty words. Until they have meaning again, that's what it is. So we need to go to break here. Real quick, Casey says, Verse, hey, side note, give some love to the Scotts Bluff QB. I don't know if you have, but holy stat line for a high school quarterback. This is Sebastian Harsh, great player. 349 yards rushing, 219 passing, scored 8 TDs. Yeah, Case, I'm aware. I'm aware, bud. I get to see him in another Monday. So the next Monday, I'll be talking about this. But yes, kid had a hell of a game. Back and forth battle, Scotts Bluff, Ron Colley. Michael was there for the majority of it, but yeah, it'll be a fun one. We'll have some fun up in Memorial Stadium on 2 Mondays. So we got to run to break. We'll be right back with more of the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone, 1620 The Zone app at 1620thezone.com. I think you guys should start a segment on the show called Let It Go, Bro. But Gary West is appealing the federal judge's decision to dismiss his case seeking to overturn the Kentucky Derby disqualification of maximum security. Story in the world. I'm like, bro, just let it go. That came from Tim Sullivan. It's like, buddy, just let it be. It happened. You did it. It's over. You're not going to get anything changed in that. We wish you all the best trying to get that figured out, but probably not happening, Captain. I just let her be. No problem at all. I just lost my scribble there. I tell you what, while we do that, I'm going to head back to the hotline here. We're going to get over to the Dingman's Collision Center hotline, and we're going to talk to Rob. Rob, what's up, bud?
What's up, bud? Calling you back again.
Yeah.
I heard something in the conference that gave me some insight I haven't picked up on. I don't know why. Because for months, even going back to last year, I've been asking this same question about why does Scott keep Adrian in there? Because what's what I see on the field, footwork, mechanics, different things like that, flat balls, stuff like that. But today, it kind of sank in that it's the whatever it is that's holding this program up, it's something no one anticipated. I think that's why they gave him the contract extension, because they were like, okay, we are 2 years into this with a lot more resistance than we ever expected.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense to me now that the reason he's sticking with Adrian is because of what Adrian brings from a leadership standpoint, what's going on in the locker room, and how he can't undercut what might be his biggest leader in the locker room and in terms of exemplifying and being on board with the program. And that finally sank in for me today, is that this culture, and I think it goes back to Bo Pelini, because Bo Pelini went south and went sideways after a while and just, I think it was a train wreck. I think he undercut Mike Riley before he left, did some things that were completely unprofessional. So I'm not going to lay it all on Pelini, but whatever it is, this malignancy in the program goes much deeper and is much more pervasive than any of us realized. And so when you've got a leader like Adrian Martinez that exemplifies who you want your players to be, you've got to back him. You've got to stick with him. You've got to stay behind him. You can't afford to undercut him because he's the model for what you want everybody else to show up in terms of work ethic and
right
character and everything. So it makes sense to me now, and it's taken a while for me to figure this out.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks, Robbie. I appreciate the call again. It's a deal, you know, a lot of moving parts. And an email I just got, you know, said Jack Stark said that when they arrived there, the collection of talent wasn't very good. It was said that there were 110 players, but maybe 8 athletes. Like that's a bad ratio. It's a bad percentage. Takes a while to fill that. Takes a while to build that up. Smooth Red said Ver's saves assistants change on a regular basis. Yeah, I know. I was just talking about the culture of them continuing to win. Like they just get in and win and win and win. Got a couple thoughts here, but we're going to get back on clock. So we're going to step out. We'll be right back with more of the Gary Sharp Show, 1620 The Zone. Back at it, grinding it out here on a Monday. Matt Verzal. Hanging out with you, just trying to get you through today. Just trying to get you a little smile, have a little fun. Cody asked, Gary West is from Nebraska. I don't know, born and raised, though. I know he started his company here, but somebody else can decipher that. They touched ground on the soil, so we claim them. They're ours. The Tua Tagovailoa situation is one that you feel horrible for the kid. I know that's kind of a weird tangent to just go dive into this, but I think that's kind of the only way you can. This far, you know, I know he's hurt and he's had the issues and all that, and you go through that. The freak accident of it is the tough part. Like, that's something. Now, after surgery, the doctor came out and said, first off, this is not like Bo Jackson's injury. Bo Jackson thought he was fine, kept playing on it. That's what did the damage to Bo Jackson when he had to wear Tua. They knew something was wrong. They got immediate care. And they're expecting a full recovery. So full as in back to 100% was what they said. So good. Good on him. I think he's the most likable guy than anybody that doesn't like Alabama. He's the one that makes you struggle. You want to hate Alabama. You want to not like them. And then you say Tua, and you're like, that's just a good dude. Like, he just plays the game hard, and he's the guy. But those positions until now, for me, an injury, once you're handed the clean bill of health by the trainer, to me, in that, you're good to go. So I'm going to expect you to play the entire game until the score. Evidently, you know, every coach has a number in their head when they'll – either try to protect somebody or call the dogs off, if you will, all that stuff. They hadn't met that number. So Nick Saban trotted him out there, and he got hurt. It was unfortunate. It was one of those, it was, you start to get the stories from it. Like, you could audibly hear him screaming as they were going down the tunnel. I cannot imagine the pain that involves, but I also can't imagine playing football at that high level at the quarterback position. All right. Keep it on the chat here. Don't forget, though, if you want to get a hold of us, give us a buzz, 402-951-1620. Hit me at Vers at 1620 The Zone, or hit me Vers at Vers51 on the JTAC Construction on Twitter feed, or the Equitable Bank Zone inbox. They take banking personally. Back to the hotline here, and we will talk to Jordan. Jordan, what's up, bud?
Hey, what's up, Vers?
Living it.
And so, I'm my weekends tend to, you know, ride or die, like a lot of our, like a lot of people out there with how the Huskers play.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I watched the games pretty close, and my buddy and I were just talking. We're like, man, we got to figure out a different way to like watch this team this year. We've been trying to figure it out since probably like the Northwestern game.
Yeah.
But like, what position group, or is there a way that I can like watch the game so I'm not, you know, putting a hole in the wall or pissing my fiance off. So, like, I can't do the play-by-play, this was a success or this was a failure, because I, you know, we just kind of know how that turns out. But how do you recommend I watch the last two games?
The best way would just be getting into deep conversation with whomever you're with. Just talk about something, just glance over every now and then and just glance back and forth and try to
yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'll be a homer. I'll be a homer and I'll be a honk. And I'll say that one game in a row turns into two games in a row. So I would focus on watching the five boys up front that are getting better every week.
Yep.
And I'd watch them and just watch them and zone in on them and what they're doing. And hopefully they'll make it proud this week, because the week after that it's going to be a head knocker. They better be ready to roll on that.
Yeah, I watched that Iowa game, and that defensive line's gonna they come to play.
If you're looking at the Big Ten, how would you equate Wisconsin's defensive line versus Iowa's defensive line before going into the game? I mean, Nebraska had 10 plus yards.
I was more worried about Wisconsin's linebackers and like them playing on the edges with us and playing in space than I was like Wisconsin's actual like guys up front. I mean, I think they're pretty good, and they do really well with what they do. But man, Iowa's front four get at you, and they get vertical in a hurry, especially like out on the edges.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned about the tackle, like what the tackles are going to do and the way they move around at the Nessa. And they just, I mean, honestly, they just motor every single play, and that's what concerns me probably the most. Is they're going to hit you and keep hitting you and just see what happens. And, you know, we'll see how we respond, I guess.
He will be one that you'll have to put the focus on for the game plan. Thank you for the call, Jordan. Appreciate you, bud.
Yep.
He is. Now, you're not overlooking Maryland, because Maryland, it's the old bugaboo for Nebraska, right? You got the quarterback that can run. Are you disciplined enough to stay gap control and make sure you're taking care of who you need to take care of? Any breakdown singularly becomes a big breakdown, then it's a breakdown everywhere, and then we got big problems. Big, big problems. So can you do those little things that ensure that you're in the right spot, but it also doesn't put any pressure on your teammate to get him in the wrong spot? And that may be more of it. Your job correctly done doesn't influence somebody else trying to overcorrect for you. You know, you got to be selfless in that and make sure you're doing your thing. So that would be how I would consume that. Nebraska, hopefully, can take advantage of some of the injuries that Maryland has and make sure that they're all on board for that, and make sure that they know how that goes and what they're looking at to get done in that day. Handle business one, each play at a time. Keep firing out cliches, one snap at a time, one minute at a time, one thought at a time, one step at a time, however you want to do it. Take care of Maryland. Then you know what? I think that'd be fun as hell to play in that game if you do get to 5-6. Like, all right, all we got to do is play hard. Play hard, let the cards fall where they may. Iowa fan is super excited, because if Nebraska does pull off a win against Maryland, they'll be able to then say, okay, we're going to end this. You know, they may have a team that can do that, because they got a team of dudes that like hitting, like bashing on both sides of the ball. You can tell that their defensive line makes their offensive line better, and their offensive line makes their defensive line better. So that will be an interesting one to watch. Cool email here. This is coming from Jennifer. Jennifer says, Verge, just wanted you to know, after your glowing discussions of the small town Nebraska, my family and I are going to head up tonight and go watch the battle for Polk County. We're going to head to Clark's and see the game. Hopefully it does not disappoint. Mainly to see some good smaller town football. Being from Omaha, you don't always get to appreciate the folks that live out in a different part of the state, and they do play. They play hard, and they want to get their acknowledgement too. So, thanks to you for giving the idea. I'll let you know what the kids think about being in a smaller town. Yeah, get out, culture them. But if anybody wants to take you out cow tipping, they're lying to you. Don't do that. The city folk. Or, you know, hunting snipe or something. Don't do that either. Just, no, we're good. We're good. You'll have a blast. Your kids will run around. They'll make friends. It'll be a fun time. As I, now the guy, I still, and I haven't talked about this in a while, but it seems to happen here a lot. I'm not a Chiefs fan. The Chiefs and Chargers play tonight. I am, though, a hater of Phillip Rivers. Like, that guy sucks. I don't like that dude. Every time, it seems every time I'm in here, somehow that guy's on the TV and it always pisses me off. So, Chiefs fan, you have one temporary fan with you tonight. I'm Matt Verzal, will be a one-day Chief fan just because you're playing Phillip Rivers.
What do you think of that take?
So if you could just beat him senseless, then I don't have to look at him. I don't know what it stems from. I'm sure he's a nice enough guy. Never ran into him, never met him. Don't want to. He just doesn't seem like that fun a dude to be around. Kind of seems like a prick. That's probably too why that Mason Rudolph stuff kind of chapped me earlier. But DB kind of gave him a stank eye look when I brought it up to him. That maybe Mason Rudolph deserved what he got. Because I'm like, how many times have you seen a quarterback get a little shoved by the end of it? And they know they're getting shoved. But then your move, mind you, your move is to go and grab a helmet and try to pull it off there. And then when Myles Garrett gets up, you just drop the old heel in the low two spot. That ain't cool. Not cool at all. But the part I like the most is then you saw, and I'm a Twitter voyeur. I will just look at Twitter. I'll see hot trends or whatever, and you look through there. How many people in that guy's hometown, Mason Rudolph, hate him? Like, hate him. Like, oh, that guy was such a D-bag. He blocked me at a porta potty once and tipped the porta potty over and da-da-da. They stuck a spork in my ear. I was bleeding out of my ear. Blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, so Chiefs fan, you got an extra one tonight because you're playing Phillip Rivers. As Stibbs rolls in here, it's Bronco gear. Hey, Stibbs, hop on that mic. I just got a quick question for you.
What's up?
What happened to Janovich? Did he break his arm?
I heard a dislocated elbow.
Oh.
And then, but there was also some bone fragments. In
really?
There, so.
If there's just fragments, they'll go in and they'll get those out of there. He'll be braced
up.
That's
I heard. But he's out for the season, I'm sure.
You were not happy.
No.
Yeah, sorry about that. I said pull you in.
About the whole thing. Yeah, that whole game was. I'm sure you weren't either. As a Bears fan, you would have liked to see a Vikings loss. Not that it mattered. We'll come later that night. But
yeah, I just do that. I just need to check
in. Poor guy scored, too.
I know. Couldn't find anything. Well, I didn't effort that hard, but I couldn't find any on it. Last email of the day here out of the Equitable Bank Zone inbox. I played eight-man football until my sophomore year. My nephews are still playing eight-man football. I love going to watch those games. Those are fun games. Matt, have you ever been to one? Oh, yeah, you covered that. Sorry, you covered it in Iowa. We always liked it when the state championship would come and we had practice. They had the six-man, like, during the day, so we'd be getting done with practice, and we'd be walking back. You watch six-man, center's eligible. And so we're watching this, and we're all in amazement. We're like, he's going out for passes. Like, this is awesome. Well, my man, I can't remember the team, but my man was good. Like, snap it. Shake the middle linebacker and go. And the quarterback just chuck it. This kid had like six catches for five tutties. And the last one was to win the game. We were all in the end zone at that time. We just picked him up. So that was like Happy Gilmore. Just started shaking him around like he did to the caddy. It was an absolute blast. But hey, had a good time with you today. Thanks for Matt. Thankfully, no issues on the technological side like we had yesterday with Husker Hangover. Appreciate you guys listening in. Emails, phone calls, all that stuff. I'm Matt Verzal signing out. Gary Sharp Show, 1620 The Zone.